Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. We've been looking for the past 2 weeks, now this is the third week, at these three verses, these three dispositions of the heart that Paul tells us about in 1 Thessalonians here in the life of the Christian, the life and the one whose heart's been captured by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Leading up to Thanksgiving and immediately following Thanksgiving, I thought it'd be good to look at these. And so they've been rejoice always, pray constantly, and give thanks in everything. And so today we're going to be talking about giving thanks in everything. And so I want to ask you a question is, are you thankful? Did you take a moment in the middle of this past week or in the midst of all this past week to just stop and think about what are the things that I'm grateful for in my life? And if I'm honest, for me, I just with everything happening on Thursday, you're getting the house ready, you got to have everything cleaned, you got to have the turkey cooked and all that. Like there's so many things I was trying to do to get ready for the day that's actually my favorite holiday that I didn't stop really on that day to stop and consider, what am I really thankful for, you know? What I want to tell you this morning is, hope is encouraging, is there's still time, okay? There's still time for you to stop and give thanks. So I want to talk about that just for a moment this morning. Now, in Matthew 5, chapter 5, Jesus says this, blessed are the humble, for they will inherit the earth. And again, in Matthew chapter 11, 29, he says, take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart. For you will find rest, and you will find rest for your souls. Now, there are many benefits and aspects of our faith that are developed out of and built upon this foundation of gospel humility or humbleness, and of recognizing that not all things are about us, right? There is a lot in our faith that's built upon the idea that not everything is about you. And there's a gospel humility that you gain when you hear the gospel of Jesus and you respond to him by faith in your life. Likewise, the humble then can hear and accept and find comfort in verses like Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9, which says this, a person's heart plans his way, but the Lord determines his steps. The humble can hear verses like that about God's control over the whole earth and find peace and find comfort in that and find reasons for thanksgiving. You see, because it takes faith to believe that God is both good and in control of all things. It takes faith to believe that. It takes faith to believe that God is good and in control of all things, and then through that faith be able to offer thanksgiving to him in the middle of our messy lives, right? See, the prideful person holds to this belief that I deserve only good and easy circumstances in my life. That's a very common outlook on life, that I deserve only good and easy circumstances. Anything less is an affront to what I deserve or is an affront to my dignity, right? That's a standard belief among many of us just who live, frankly. And it leads us to do two things, right? It leads us to, one, not recognize the good gifts that God does give us, and then it leads us or prevents us from seeing how God might bring good in rough times. It does those two things. It helps us, it blinds us to the good gifts that God does give us, and it prevents us from seeing how God might bring good when we're going through rough circumstances in our lives, right? You see, when good comes, the world and God then are acting according to what's the standard norm. Like, if good unease only come to your life, when that does come, then everything is acting according to what's convention, right? According to what is owed you. And at that time, then, it's easy to not even acknowledge good as being something that's a gift from God. Why? Because that's the standard mode in your mind. That's what's owed you. That's what's owed to all of us. We think good is what should come, and when something that's not, quote, easy or good comes to me, then that's outside of the norm, outside of God's will for me. And so therefore, when something that is troubling comes into my life, then we, like, that's what arrests our attention. But when we have just good days, we don't recognize them as gifts from God because that's what we think is the standard, right? So we don't recognize, hey, this is really good. My kids are being obedient. We're going out to eat as a family. We've got everyone here for Thanksgiving. We've got, like, we're going to go watch a movie tonight. We're going to, like, we have these normal things, normal life things, because we believe this is the standard for our life, that we don't recognize this is a moment, this moment is a gift for us, right? We don't recognize it because that's the standard in our minds. Now, the issue for us in a lot of our lives is that we conflate good with ease. We conflate those two terms. We say, if things are easy for me, then things are good. If I don't have to clean up a mess at this moment, then I'm having a good moment, right? If I don't have to clean up something, then I'm good and things are good. But if I do have to clean up a mess at this moment, then things are bad. But if we stop and think about it, the things that actually cause, like, the most strain in our lives, like things we have to work the hardest out of, things we're most proud of later on, like, anyways, here's my grand theory of all of life. You want to know my grand theory of all of life? And it stems from having a lot of kids. My grand theory of life is that all of life is cleaning up messes. That's my grand theory of life. Now, you think about this. At lunch, your kid spills your tea. It's a mess you got to clean up, right? Your baby spits up everywhere and drips all down the carpet. Got to clean that up, right? You have a miscommunication with your friend. You got to go clean that up. It's a mess. You have a divorce in your family. Got to go clean that up. It's a mess. I've got another one here. You get outside today after church, you go to your car and your check engine lights comes on. It's a mess. You got to go clean up, right? All of life is cleaning up messes. You miss a number on your accounting spreadsheet at work and your boss comes back and asks you about it. You're like, oh, it's a mess. I got to go clean it up. All of life is cleaning up messes. That's the point, right? That's not the point, but that's what's happening in our lives, right? Everything is a mess that we have to go clean up. That's just a reaction. Like, things happen in our world, we react to it. That's the point of the gospel, isn't it, right? Jesus came to clean up the mess that we couldn't clean up ourselves, right? It's the gospel. All of life is cleaning up messes, whether we're cleaning it up or God is cleaning it up. That's how life happens, right? And so that's the standard mode. So in this, when we're like, man, my life's not easy. I don't have a lot to give thanks for. Things are tough for me. All of life is cleaning up messes for everyone. That's all of life. It was for Jesus. And so in your life, when you have days when it's not easy, Paul still says, give thanks in everything, right? Because God then, through all of that, is giving you and me time and opportunities then to live out his nature, is to live out his image in our world. He is the God who cleans up messes. And so now he says, you and go do likewise. You go and do likewise. That's what he says. He says, go and be the redemptive mess cleaners in your world, in your life, according to his likeness, according to his pattern. That's what he says. And so as we live, we are given time and time again to grow in our Christ-likeness, to be those who grow in grace, who grow in patience, who grow in love, who grow in Christ temperament, to become more Christ-like, to grow in long-suffering, right? All of these are reasons for thankfulness because what? God is making us more like his Son, Jesus Christ, through living our normal, messy lives, right? When difficult circumstances do come, it really arrests our attention, right? Because that, for some reason, still to us seems out of the norm. That's why when you watch the news, it's always bad news. Because good news is gradual, right? Bad news, it rests your attention. That's what sells. Chaos and crisis sells. Why? Because that still seems abnormal to us, because it's out of our conception of what should be the norm or what is the norm in our lives, right? And so when bad things come, it arrests our attention. And since our standard expectation is ease, we feel blindsided. And a common question at that point when a crisis enters our world is, why would God allow this to happen? Why would God allow this thing to happen to me? Why would I have to deal with this mess when I'd rather deal with a smaller mess, right? And for the Christian, that's actually not a bad question, right? That's actually not a bad question at all. Now, for the Christian, it can't stay there. You can't remain that and let that be the final question. But that's not a bad question to ask. In fact, David in Psalm chapter 13 asked that question, which we read at the beginning of the service this morning. Here's what David says. He says, "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long will I store up anxious concerns within me, agony in my mind every day? How long will my enemy dominate me?" You know what David's saying? He's saying, where are you? And when are you going to act in my life and in this situation? I don't see you. What are you doing? And so that question of why is God allowing this thing to happen is not a bad question. It's a good question. It's good to direct your real questions in your heart to your Father in heaven who's out there, who's listening, who's walking with you, to turn your heart to him and say, what are you doing? Where are you at? But look what David does. Something happens within him because he turns and he prays. He says, consider me and answer, Lord my God. And he prays a prayer of faith. Restore brightness to my eyes. He says, bring life back into me again because I'm feeling dead. Give me peace in my heart again. Restore brightness to my eyes. Otherwise, I will sleep in death. But in verse 5, he says something that's really, really astounding for someone who's walking through really hard days. He says this, but I have trusted in your faithful love. See, in this point in David's life, when he enters a hard situation, he prays his real questions to God of why are you doing this? Why did you allow this thing to happen? But then he stops and he remembers his faith. And he says, I'm going to remember your faithful love that you have towards me. And so what does he do? He remembers the gospel. Now, he existed before Jesus. But for the Christian, the premier example, the premier demonstration of God's love is his son's death and resurrection from the cross, right? Like, that is the premier example of God's love for us. Jesus came and suffered the ultimate injustice. And then Acts 2, verses 23 and 24, says, Jesus, the innocent man, was delivered up to be executed by his Father. The plan that was carried out by his people, nailing him to a cross and killing him. But then God raised him up from the dead. And in doing so, he exalted him to a heavenly throne and has made Jesus the Savior of all who believe. And now here's what David does with this. With remembering who God is and what God has done, he allows what he knows, even in the midst of his troubling crisis scenario, he allows or remembers what he knows about God and what God has done previously, and he allows that to direct his heart towards faith, towards what God will do in the future. Right? He says, I know this is who God is, and I know this is what God's done, and so therefore, I'm going to let him shape my heart in this moment because who he was in the past is going to be who he will be in the future. He's going to redeem all things just like he did in the past. That's what King David was saying in his situation here in Psalm 13. And so look what that leads him to do. Look what it leads him to do. Look at verse 6. Therefore, I've remembered the gospel, so therefore I will sing to the Lord because he has treated me generously. What did he just say? In the middle of my crisis, in the middle of this horrible day in which I'm wondering, where is God? I've remembered who God is and what he's done. And so therefore, I'm going to give thanks to him. That's what David says here. I'm going to sing to the Lord. Why? Because he has treated me generously. I'm going to give thanks in this moment. That takes humility, a gospel humility that leads him to believe and trust. Proverbs 16:9 that says, a person's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. God is in control of all things. And the one who truly trusts in him can hear that verse even in the middle of their normal messy life and say, I trust him. He's in control and he's good, and I'm going to give thanks to him in the middle of this and in spite of my current circumstance, right? You see, there exists in Jesus Christ the possibility for living a truly thankful life. There exists that possibility. You see, when Jesus comes into your life through the power of the gospel, he enables the humble then to see the hand of God at work in all things, both good and bad, that he can and will use all things for the good of those who love him. Here's what Romans 8, chapter 28, verse 28 says. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called to his purpose. Now, will we always recognize this when it plays out? No, we will not. Will we always be able to look back at our scenario, our problems, our mess in our past or current mess? Will we be able to look at this later on and say, God did this for this reason? Or this ends up being a good thing for this reason. Will we look at that always? No, we will not. There will always be messes in your past where you were like, I still don't make sense of this. 50 years later, I can't make sense of why that happened in my life. But the humble follower of Christ can still hold on and say, I directed my path. I had my plans, but God directed my steps. And I'm going to trust him. And I'm going to give thanks to him in spite of what was a horrible time for me. Right? And so, giving thanks to God, or living to give thanks in all things, is an expression of a humble faith. And it says two things. It says there is someone out there to be grateful toward. And it says that God is good, is in control of all things, and he will bring about good eventually. Now, there are plenty of more serious or severe examples than this one that I'm about to give you. For giving thanks. But I don't want to give a more serious or a severe example than this. So a couple years ago, I was feeling really stupid at the end of one of the years here at Normandale. Because I didn't give enough time. There were a couple things that were happening, and I can't remember what all the scenarios were. I think I'd overspent one account on our Normandale budget, and like I just didn't realize that we had gone over on it. And then I didn't give enough time for our budget process to play out at the end of that year. And so we had to like scramble through email to get some stuff done before we could present the budget that year. And there was, I can't remember what all there were, but there were like three things in a row that I just administratively, I am just really bad, okay? And so I just didn't have my ducks in a row, and I was feeling so stupid heading into that year. And this is probably 2019, 20, something like that. I don't remember when it was. And I walked into the elder room, and I was like, because the last one had just come out of like, not like come out like a scandal, but like it had came out of like, oh man, I didn't give enough time for that. Great, you know. And I walked into the elder room, like we had an elder meeting one night. And I was sitting there, and I was like, guys, I feel so stupid. Like, I just feel really dumb because I just don't know what I'm doing. Like, I'm trying to, I'm not giving enough time. I didn't know that I needed to give more time for this process. I didn't know how this process, like, I just didn't know. And I walked in, I'm like, here's all the things that I feel stupid about that I've done wrong. Like, and then I listed off my three things or something in a row. And I turned, and David is like, no. David Kinard, world's most encouraging dude ever. I walk in and I'm like, dude, I feel so stupid. He's like, no, that's not bad. Think of all you've learned. And I was like, I guess you're right. I'll tell you what I learned, though. This year, we started our budget process in October, right? There's no way. And here's the reason we did that. I learned that year. We were supposed to present the budget last week. Administratively bad. I was supposed to print them out and have them ready to go last Sunday. I showed up on Sunday and I was like, I forgot to print those out. Good thing we started in October. We can do it next week. And so we're presenting them today at the end of the service. And so, but we just learned from that time. And so I look back on that time, on those moments, and in the middle of them, I was like, I feel so stupid. But David came with a word from the Lord. He was like, no. How can you give thanks in this moment for what you're going through? And now I look back on that year and I'm like, I'm so thankful that we did that or walked through that, because now I know how to do this process. And I also know what happens if you don't do it well, right? Or if you don't give enough time for things, or if you're not watching things or observing or keeping track of stuff. Like, I know what happens then. And so now I'm like, thank you, God, for bringing me through that crisis or that, you know, it's a crisis, you know, bringing me through that time. So that way I can learn, like you taught me wisdom through that time of not wisdom. I don't really know the opposite of that, stupidity. I don't want to say stupidity, but you know what I mean. That's my non-severe example of giving thanks in a situation where you're like, man, this is not a good situation. But God can use all things for good. Will we always see what they are? No. We won't always see the good. But sometimes you do. Sometimes you can see the good of what he's going to do in a situation. And so what God wants to do in you through yours is to make you more like Christ and lead you to be a redemptive actor in your world, right? That's what he wants to do through you. That's what the Spirit of God wants to do in you and through you, through your scenario. And so now I want to give you an opportunity. I want to give you time just to stop and give thanks. So what are... Nick, y'all go ahead and come. I know we're 20 minutes in, but Nick, sorry, dude. But I want to give you guys a moment to just stop and give thanks. And so here's what I want you to do. Nick is going to play as soon as he gets his guitar plugged up. I didn't give him much leeway. But I want you to think, what is happening in my life? Or what has been happening in my life? And how is God working through that? How can I give thanks to our great God for what he is doing in our life or in my life? And so just take a moment. So bow your head, think about that, and offer your thanksgiving back to your Father in heaven who loves you and is working all things for the good of those who love him.